Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Mem Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 11 lines from the top of Daf Mem Ches. Before we begin the text itself, we glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic heading feature that you see in the margin, which reads, Hesber Machlokes HaTanoim. We're going to explain the Machlokes, the Tanaic controversy that was alluded to in our Mishnah, Be'inyan Chalimin U'mekinenes She'nitan La'anio She'nigberes. The Mishnah spoke about a situation of a husband having to bury his wife. What must he provide in that? Mishnah mentioned flute players, Chalilin. Mekonenes is a woman who knew how to arouse the emotions of the public by being a Mekonenes. Kinos is a word referring to dirges and all that that implies. So we'll refer to her henceforth as the Mekonenes. The Gemara text. This Gemara opens with a quote from the Mishnah on Mem Vav Amid Beis, Reb Yehuda Omer, Afilu Oni Shebisrael Lo Yivchois Mishnei Chalilin U'Mekonenes. That even an impoverished man shall not provide less than two Chalimin, two flutists, and a Mekonenes. Michlal, the Tanakama Sovar Hanilo, it would then appear that the Tanakama would say that these things are not needed. Hechidomi, what are the circumstances? E de Urcha, if it is the way of her family, that when women in her family die, there would be Chalilin and a Mekonenes. My time all the Tanakama Domar Lo. Why would the Tanakama say that this wife wouldn't receive these things at her funeral? If the women in her family, that was their practice, she should receive the same. V'i delo urcha. And if it's not the way of her family, that these things weren't present at the funeral of women in her family, my time of Rebbe Yehuda, then why is Rebbe Yehuda insisting that she should receive it? Why should she have special treatment? Lo tzricha. No, it's necessary to be taught. In other words, our Mishnah is featuring the following background upon which we will have a machlokes tanoim. So what's the background? Kagon de urche dide velav urcha dida. It's the custom of his family to have these things, and it's not the custom of her family to have these things. Tanakama sovar. The Tanakama, who suggests that she does not get these things. The Tanakama holds, based on a phrase in the Torah, Be'ulas Baal, without getting into the literal translation of that, but Be'ulas Baal, the word Be'ulah, can also, as you see, the root of the word can be Aliyah, rising. Rising with her husband. So there's a concept that when a woman gets married, she's entitled to the benefits that are customary on his side, on the husband's side. Now, in our case, in fact, it's the husband's side that has these things, not her side of things. So the Tanakama is of the following opinion. Ki amrinan oilo imoi v'eino yoredes imo. When the rule that's derived from that expression, bulas bal, applies, that she rises with him, benefits from the benefits that are characteristic of his family and does not lose out. That's a reference to practices, to things that one enjoys during their lifetime. But when you're dealing with matters after death, then we can say Yoredes. She does go down, so to speak. The Rashi, on the upper part of the Rashi column, in the upper part of the narrow lines, Hani Milu Mechayim, Kagon Hu Omer Lahonikes Bino Vi Omeres Shelo Lahonik. If you have, let's say, a controversy between a husband and wife regarding the nursing of their newborn, and a husband says, I want you to nurse, and she says, no, I don't want to nurse. The derech binos mishpachto lohanik b'nehem, and it's, let's say, the way of her family to in fact nurse the children, the lo derech mishpachto, and it's not his way. And when we speak about the not nursing, it means that the children in the husband's family were provided this service, if you will, by expending funds for it, which would ultimately benefit the wife. In other words, it frees her up. She's not restricted. If she wants to nurse, obviously she can. But if it's inconvenient for her, she would have more freedom. So that would be considered an aliyah, a positive thing. So in his family, it wasn't customary for the women to be bound for nursing purposes. So she has a right, even though in her own family the women folk did nurse their own children, in his family it wasn't their style, wasn't their practice. So she's oyla imo v'ein yoredes. She doesn't have to lose out on that benefit. But that's something that's mechayim, that's during life. Here we're talking about funeral elements. And in funeral elements, so the Tanakhama holds that her ability or her claim on benefiting from the practices of his family don't apply. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, Rabbi Yehuda says that she is entitled to these things. Sovar, he holds, afilu lachar misa, even matters after death, she doesn't have to go down to the way of her family, but is entitled to those benefits, as is the case over here, that it was his family's practice to have the Chalilin and the Konenis. Omar of Chista, Omar Mar Ukva, Halocha Karebi Yehuda. He rules, the Gemara here concludes it with a halachic ruling that the woman is entitled to these things, the Chalilin and the Konenis. The topic heading on the side of the Gemara says, Baal Shinishtate, a husband that lost his mind, became an imbecile. He was normal at one point, but he lost his mind. Based in Yordan Linechosov, the Based in takes over, so to speak, his property with regard to the realm of seeing to the woman's care, that his family is cared for. The Gemara opens up with the word v'omar, Rav Chisa. The vav indicates a second comment of Rav Chisa's. In general, and throughout Gemara markings, people who are Gemara markings veterans will probably note that we like to mark off series of names when they appear in a series form. Here, we didn't do that. It's a totally new idea over here, and the names are very close textually to one another, so we didn't feel necessary to mark it off as such. But it's another statement of Rav Chisda in the name of Mar Ukva. That's why it begins with a vav. V'omar Rav Chisda Mar Ukva, mi shenishtate, someone who lost his mind. And you notice a diamond marking that appears on the side under the Mivne heading, Shnei Mikrim Shebeis Din Yordan Chosav. We'll see two cases where Beis Din descends into his property, takes over to a certain degree, as each case will become clear. So here we're dealing with a man who lost his mind, based in Yordan Lenechasa, Vizonin Umefarnesin es Ishto Uvanov Uvnoisov Vidovar Acher. This is Mar Ukva's ruling that the court will then draw from his wealth, from his property, in order to provide food. And the word mefarnes in Rashi says is levush uksus. Personally, I didn't look into this Rashi in any depth, but the two words that Rashi uses, it'd be worth analyzing what is meant by levush and ksus. They're seeming two different things, but on a superficial level, they're both references to clothing. It could be that one's an inner layer of clothing, one's an outer layer of clothing, but it has to do with the realm of clothing. So the Beis Din supports food-wise and clothing-wise the man's wife, and says Bonov Uvnosov, and the man's children, the Dover Acher, that and something else. Now, the Gemara will dwell on that later. Omar Le Ravino Le Ravashi. Ravina asks, "My shno meha desanya. What is different about this case versus the following case? Misha halach lemedina sayam. A man went abroad. Veishto tovas mizonos, and the wife is demanding, I need food support. Based in Yordan linechasov, vizonen umefarnesem es ishto. Based in descends upon his properties, his holdings, and provides food and the clothing, the levush uksus, as we saw before in Rashi, to the man's wife. Avol, and note the emphasis here in marking wise, avol loy bonov uvnoisov veloy dovar acher. The children are not provided for. And not the daughter. It's noted in Rashi that a man is not obligated in the support of his sons and daughters. He's not obligated in providing them with food. The Gemara later on deals with some takonos usha, and that's again something that is subject to controversy. But there is this approach that a man is not obligated in the strict legal bottom line sense of providing food for his sons and daughters. Of course, up to a certain age, you can't even imagine how else can they survive. But let us say this much, that at a certain age, that can be very young, the basic bottom line says, go out and get your own income. Go do some work. You remember the old lemonade stand? Babysitting or plowing or collecting eggs in someone's chicken farm or whatever. Things that children can do. So that is how they would be supported. It's just important to note that a man is not, by letter of the law, he's not obligated to support them. So we have two situations. Mar Ukva addressed the situation of a man losing his mind. Beis Din takes over, and not only is the wife cared for, but the man's children are cared for as well. Man of sound mind goes abroad, wife is cared for, but not man's children. That's the question posed to Ravashi. Why the difference? Omar Le, Ravashi says, V'lo shani loch, do you not see a distinction between yotzei lidas, liyotzei shelo lidas? There's a difference between a man who left the scene knowingly. The guy went abroad on a business trip or whatever. He went abroad for some whatever reason. He left the scene, but knowing, with knowledge, with full knowledge, as opposed to Yotzi Shalom Ladas, means a person who left without any awareness. In other words, he lost his mind. A man who leaves knowingly. So, why did he not make any why did he not specify any provision for the support of his children? Because he doesn't want it. If he doesn't want it, we can't do anything about it. He's not obligated to that. The wife, on the other hand, that's an obligation that he has. Whether he likes it or not, that's an obligation that he has upon marrying the woman, to provide mizonos for her. So for something that he's legally bound to provide, Beis Din moves in. For something they're not legally bound to provide, and he didn't make any special consideration, so Beis Din can't do anything about it. However, a person who lost his mind, there we reason. We assume, like I'm sure everyone who's listening to this shiur also would assume, that a person wants his children to be supported. We spoke before about letter of the law, but when it comes to a situation like this where he didn't have a chance to express himself, so we, the Beis Din, has a right to make an assumption that it's likely that the father would be very happy for his children to be supported. Again, we must emphasize, maybe some people will get the wrong idea. We were talking about letter of the law. And remember in this sugya that dealt with the redemption of the daughter, again, we were talking about letter of the law. We're talking about a basic human emotion, basic feelings, etc. So when it comes to a person's interest in his children being supported, receiving food, you can't have anything more basic than that. So a father is happy for it to be seen too that his children are taken care of. However, where a person knowingly left the scene and didn't make any provisions for that, so this guy is apparently not so interested in his children being supported, because otherwise he would have noted that before he departed. He departed without noting that, so we cannot go beyond the letter of the law. And just to repeat, but where a person lost his marbles, there, Beis Din can make the assumption that most people would want their children to be provided for. And this guy, just beyond his control, he lost his mind, therefore Beis Din will support them from the man's properties. I personally hope that everyone is appreciating how sensitive and how deep the Shas, the Talmud, the oral law gets into the human psyche, and how so much a part of life the Torah is for each and every one of us. How it's very important to realize that, and to, when you learn the Gemara, it's not just it's not some type of intellectual exercise, something that's removed from us, but it's speaking to us eye to eye, occupying every fiber of humanity. Let us continue with the Gemara. My Dovar Acher. We have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. You can, just a couple lines before, we mentioned Dovar Acher, and Mar Ukva also made reference to the Dovar Acher. What is that? Now, it's true that we mentioned Mar Ukva, but when you study the Rashi carefully, the Gemara here, when it's asking my Dovar Acher, according to Rashi, there are two approaches, there are two opinions as to what this is a reference to. We're going to take the first approach that Rashi presents, even though he actually says Veli Nira, he has a second approach that he seems to prefer, but for our purposes, we're going to go with the first approach of Rashi. Dovar Acher, it said in the source that a man who went abroad was of sound mind. He made no and did not make any provisions. So we said in the source, children don't get supported from his property. And there's also velo dovar acher. What do we mean? No dovar acher, that the wife doesn't get dovar acher. What is that? Rav Chisda Amar zet tachshit. Tachshit has to do with jewelry and cosmetics, matters that relate to the beautification of the woman. Rav Yosef Omar Tzedakah. Tzedakah is money for charitable purposes. Man de Omar Tachshit, one who says, that's Rav Chisda, who says that she doesn't get even provisions for jewelry and cosmetics. Kol Shekein Tzedaka. Certainly, she's not going to get a called a charity allowance that would be money that she would be entitled to distribute for tzedaka purposes. Ma Damar Tzedaka, the opinion that says that she is not entitled to receive money for charitable purposes. Avol Tachshit Yavinon Law. However, the jewelry and cosmetics will be provided for her. Delo nichole de tinval. A husband does not want his wife to appear ugly. The topic heading on the side, the nosei, Misha holach nisayam, ubeintayim mesa ishto, a man who went abroad. In the meantime, the wife died. Based in Yordan l'chosav v'kovernoso l'fi kvoda. Based in goes into the man's property, takes from his holdings, from his wealth, and sees to it that she is buried according to the due honor to her. Omar the Gemara, Omar Rav Chiyo bar Oven, Omar Rav Huna, Misha holach nisayam u'meisa ishto. A man who went abroad, and in the meantime his wife dies. Based in Yordan l'nechosav, you can see the diamond again, like we indicated before, of the based in descending into his properties, taking over, withdrawing funds from his holdings, the kivrin oisol lefi kvodoi, and she is buried according to the honor that's characteristic of his family. The Gemara asks, lefi kvodo levelo lefi kvoda, are we saying that the method and the style of the funeral is according to the honor that his family is accustomed to and not her? Amor, rather say, af lefi kvodo. Of course, if there are any honors that her family is accustomed to, she is to receive those. But even if not, and we say, even honors that are characteristic of his family, she is to receive. Ha komashmalon, this tells us, this ruling of Rav Huna tells us, oilo imo v'eino yeredes imo, the idea that a woman is entitled to benefit from the benefits characteristic of his family, and does not go down, doesn't lose out on those things, even matters that are pertinent after death. So that if there are things that though her family doesn't practice in matters of burial, but his family does, and it's increased honor, she's entitled to those things. This is a point that we discussed earlier, and that's why you'll see little arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. You'll note there's an Aleph and Beis that appear in the Gemara. They represent Shnei Shlavim, two stages, Bahavonas Dino Shel Rav Matona, in trying to understand what Rav Matona teaches here. Be'inyin mi sheloi roitze sheyotzil hoitzos min achosav avur kvura. Someone who expresses his lack of desire, his unwillingness to have payments made from his holdings, from his properties for burial purposes. The Gemara, again noting that there are two stages. Amar Rav Matana, Ha'oimer, a person who at the time of his death he announces, Im Mesa, Lo sigberua minachosav, referring to his wife, when she dies, I don't want monies paid from my properties for her burial. Emphasis must be placed on the idea here that he is dying first, leaving her a widow. As such, she collects the ksuba, that's money that was guaranteed to her at the point they marry. He is therefore not obligated to her burial. Whoever inherits her ksuba, when she dies, they will have to take care of her burial. Therefore, Rav Matana says that if the man makes such an announcement that he doesn't want the widow, when she dies, to be buried from money from his properties, shomin lo, we listen to him. And don't worry about her body being left uncared for, unburied. That will be taken care of by those who inherit her ksuba. The Gemara asks, "My shno ki omar." Why is there an emphasis here on his saying, his articulating it? You'll notice two lines at the end of the line, the word ha'omer was squiggle underline. Why is that so important that he has to say this? Dinafli nichsi kami yasmi. It would seem to be obvious that the burial from his estate isn't going to be taken care of. The properties fall, his properties are inherited by the Yisomen, by the orphans, by his beneficiaries. And they are not obligated to her burial. So very nice. He said this. But it would be obvious. The properties fall, his properties that he was referring to, they are inherited by his heirs. Ki lo amar nami, even if he didn't make the announcement. Nichsi kami yasmi ramu, the properties, his estate, is inherited by the orphans, by the heirs, and they're not obligated to her burial. So what's Rav Matana teaching us when his teaching focuses on a man making an announcement? He says, as if we're taking the text as is, even without his saying it, we wouldn't draw from his properties of funds and monies for the widow's burial. Ella, rather, what Rav Matana was saying was something else. Ha'oimer, a person who says, imes hu, he says not regarding his wife, he says regarding himself. He says that upon his death, lo tigburuhu minachosav, that he doesn't want money from his account, from his properties, to be used for his own burial. Well, how should he be buried? From public charity funds. Ain shomen, we don't listen to a guy like that. Lav kol heimenu shiashir esbono viapilatz moyalat zibur. It's not within his power. Lav kol heimenu. It's not within his power to enrich his children by preserving his estate for them and only for them. And the other expenses, for example, his burial expenses, should be something that the public has to take care of. The Mishnah. Le'olam hi birshus ha'av. A girl is considered within the domain of her father. Ad shetikones, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis, lirushus habal l'nisuin, until she enters the domain of her husband l'nisuin. Rashi says kloma shetikones l'chupa l'shem nisuin, until she enters the marriage canopy, which represents the consummation of the marriage. The Rashi at the bottom of Omid Aleph, at the beginning of the Mishnah commentary, Lo'olami Brishus Av, she's considered within the father's domain. The Imbas Yisrael Murasa L'Kaini, if you're dealing with a father who is a non-Kohen, and she's entering marriage to a husband who is a Kohen. Kohen is someone who's entitled to the Truma tithe that people separate from their produce. She, however, Eina Eicheles B'Truma, she does not consume Truma, even though she's entered the Erusin, the first stage of marriage to a Kohen. Maybe we should just preface that in a Kohen's wife is entitled to eating truma. But at what point is she defined as such? So here we're saying that at that first stage of marriage, she does not eat truma. V'zakai bo k'chol z'chus av v'vito, and the father remains the beneficiary of all benefits accrued to him through his daughter, as we, of course, have learned in recent Mishnayos. So the Mishnah is declaring, is saying she's considered still in the father's domain with all of those ramifications until the nisuin to the husband, until she enters the chuppah with her husband. The Gemara, the Mishnah now goes through several situations. We explain on the side under the Nosei heading, Mimosai Nechsheves Isha Bishus Baila. From what point is a woman considered in the domain of the husband? We mentioned already the straightforward, simple case of the girl, of the woman entering the marriage canopy. There are additional cases. If you take a look, just let your eye skim ahead before we read the continuation of the Mishnah. You see there's some underlining and numbering. So you have case one, which results in Birshus Habal, where she does enter the husband's domain. And we'll notice that even in a case where there's not the actual chuppah yet, but it's considered a departure from the father's domain. And there's departure from father's domain, which results in entrance to husband's domain with regard to these matters. So you have, in case one, Birshus Habal. Under case two, there are two situations. There's Aleph and Beis, but they result in Birshus Ho'av. She's still in the father's domain. And in case three, you'll have Birshus Habal. Now, let's get into the details. Mosar ho'av l'shluchei habal. If the father gives his daughter over to agents or emissaries coming on behalf of the husband, and he says, the father says, now you go with them. Harehi b'rishus habal. She's considered within the domain of her husband. And as we saw, for example, it would appear to that we can say she could now eat from truma. Don't forget, we're dealing with a girl who already experienced erusin. She already received money from the husband in exchange for her agreeing to marry him. But, and we've said this already many, many times, that the erusin and the nisuin are two separate stages as far as when learning the Mishnayos and Gemara, even though nowadays we don't see that, nevertheless, it exists. We don't see it because in our practice we have the two done basically simultaneously or immediately one following the other. But there in the Mishnayos and the Gemara, we're assuming there's a gap in time. So she already experienced the Erusin. She, by being given over by the father to the Shluchei Habal, she now enters the Baal's domain and would be entitled, as we said, to Truma. Hola Ho'av im Shluchei Habal. The father didn't give her over. He went with her. Note the difference between Mosar in case 1 and in case 2, Holach. The father continues, Holach Ho'av im Shluchei Habal. The father goes along with the agents of the husband, O Shaholchu Shluchei Ho'av im Shluchei Habal. Or the father didn't go with them, but he had his own agents that accompanied the daughter, and they, the father's agents, went with the agents sent by the husband to receive her. Hare hi birshus ho'av. She remains in the father's domain. You can see how the father is continuing in the picture in case 2, Aleph and Beis. 3. Mosru shluchei ho'av l'shluchei habal. The father's emissaries that had accompanied the girl, now they transfer her over to the husband's emissaries. Hare hi birshus habal. the Rashi on the second line from the top, Mosru Shluchei Av. This is referring to this case 3. Shoyo Av Mishalchalo Ayadei Shluchav. The father had sent his daughter with his own emissaries in the direction of the where the husband is. Upogu b'shluchei habal u'masru lahem, and they met up with agents or emissaries sent from the husband to receive her, and they gave her over to them. So at that point, she's considered b'shus habal. The Gemara opens up with a question focusing on the opening word of the Mishnah. Hence we have a little arrow point indicating to look at Omid Aleph, and if you do that, you look at the bottom line of Omid Aleph. The Mishnah opened up with the word La'olam. My La'olam. What does the Mishnah gain in saying that? In saying that word, lolam is a word that literally means forever. It's a word of emphasis, and it would say that she is forever in the domain of the father until she enters the domain of her husband in the suin. What is gained by adding that word lolam? Answer: laafuke mi mishna rishona, to the exclusion of an earlier Mishnah teaching. There was an earlier teaching, and this we actually learned at the beginning of the Masichta. It says in this Tanaic source, "Higia zman v'lo nisu." There was a time, let's say a maximum of 12 months for a virgin marriage to take place between after the Erusin, where the husband declares, I want you to get ready for nisuin. Rashi uses the expression mishatova habal lahochinas nisuin. So, from the point that the husband, after the erusin, indicates, I want you to get ready for nisuin. I want you to get ready for the consummation of our marriage. 12 months are granted for that period of time. So the Mishnah Rishona says, Higia zman v'lo nisu, if the 12-month period comes and they didn't consummate their marriage, the husband said, I want to wait a little longer, or some other thing beyond his control prevented him from consummating the marriage with nisuin. So now, 12 months have gone by. Oichlois mishalai v'oichlois betruma. The wife, the woman, is entitled to receive support from him, and he's delaying it. That's maybe not the best thing, not right. It could be also an onus, it could be beyond his control. Nevertheless, she's entitled to receive food from him, and if she's a Bas Yisrael that was Mu'ureses to a Kohen, the husband is a Kohen, and now you've got this delay, she eats Truma. Komash Malon, our Mishnah comes to supersede this particular source and says L'Oilom, meaning that even after the 12 months, if she's a Bas Yisrael to a Kohen, she's not going to eat from Truma. She's not going to eat the Truma. Mosar Ha'av L'Shluchei Abal Harehi B'Shus Abal V'Chulei. The Mishnah described that if the emissaries of the father give her over to emissaries of the husband, she's considered in their domain. And she's considered in the husband's domain. On the side, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. And as you scan the Gemara, you'll notice triangles appear. In fact, four in number. These are Deos Alma hatotzos shel moser av lishluchei abal. Different opinions as to what results when we say that as a result of the father giving over the daughter to the shluchei abal, she's considered in the baal's domain. What are the results of this? Omar Rav is the first opinion. He says mesirasa. La kol chutz mitruma. Truma. When we say that she's given over to the husband's domain, she's considered in the husband's domain with regard to everything except for the eating of truma. Veravasi omar af l'truma, and Ravasi says even for truma. We must provide a little more background to this issue than just the translation of the Gemara, and we do so by looking into the Rashi. Chutz me'achilas truma, the taima dida, the reason for this, this idea of a woman who, though is married on a Torah level to this man, she's married to a Kohen. And the Torah says that a Kohen acquires slaves, acquires a wife. His acquisitions are entitled to eat from Truma. So on a purely Torah level, one would expect the Arusa to be entitled to Truma. And yet we're saying all along, no, not so. She doesn't eat from Truma at that point. Why not? So there are actually two opinions as to why that is. Rashi continues, Mishum Simpon. Simpon is a word meaning something that undoes. On a more practical level, Simpon will say means a blemish. The husband discovers a blemish, a bodily blemish on his wife, something that he did not expect. V'akanti iko lemechash lahachi shemo yimtzu ba mumin. The girl has been given over to whom? To the shluchei habal. Are we going to let her eat truma? When she eventually reaches the husband, he might discover on her these blemishes, and he'll say that I didn't intend to marry a woman with blemishes like this. V'yu kidushel yusel tos. And that would then reveal that the initial kiddushin and certainly the nisuin was all one big mistake, and that retroactively she was never married to a kohen. So how would things look if, in the meantime, she was eating truma, something to which she was not entitled whatsoever? So that helps to explain why Rav says she is not entitled to truma, even though she's entitled to everything else we described earlier as characteristic being birshus habal, not to truma because of the chashash of simpon. Rav Asi, on the other hand, said she's entitled to eating from truma at this point in time. That mosarav l'shluchei habal, she's no longer in her father's domain. Physically speaking, she's no longer in her father's house. She's been removed from there. Why does Rav Asi say that she's entitled to eating from truma? Because Rav Asi, in his whole approach to the arusa not eating from truma that we mentioned earlier, was a different reason for that. Not because of the chashash simpon, that the fear of the tos, the retroactive undoing of the marriage, but rather, as long as she's still in her father's house physically, imagine she would receive a bottle of truma wine. Is there not a fear that maybe she'll share the wine with her brothers, with other members of her family that are not Kohanim? Sure, that's a fear. That's called Shema Yimzugu La Kais Beveis Aviyah. We're afraid she'll fill up a cup of truma wine in her father's house. V'tashki l'chi avachiseh, as Rashi says, I'm reading from the Rashi. He points that out under the second triangle that you can see in the Rashi. But once the father has given her over to the agents, the emissaries of her husband, the Kohen, there's no longer any fear of that. So if while they're in the limousine driving with her to her new husband and they want to uncork a bottle of fine truma wine, so there's nothing wrong, no reason for her not to partake of it. That's Rav Asi's approach. Now, I'm going to skip. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit over here, but hopefully this will benefit us later in the Gemara. We've read so far the two first triangles, Rav and Ravasi. There are more triangles that come along the way. Later in the Gemara, a little less, almost halfway down, you'll see on the side there's a long bracket marking. So on the first one online is Latruma. Then there's a Mesve. Mesve introduces a question. It's from a rather long Tanaic source. Most of the Tanaic source you'll see is bracketed off. We'll skip the bracketed section initially, and you'll notice it leads us to a line ending with the word Latruma, and we would read Latruma Ein Isha Ochelis Betruma Ad Shetikones Lechupa. A woman is not entitled to eat from truma until she enters the chuppah. Tiyufta de kulhu, tiyufta. And the Gemara at that point will say this source represents a refutation of all. And when you learn the Rashi and the Tosfos, especially the Tosfos, the tiyufta de kulhu, even though kulhu is a term in the plural, nevertheless, it's really a focus on Rav Asi's opinion. Rav Asi said that even though she is simply with the Shluchei Abal, Rav Asi says she's entitled to even to Truma, even though she hasn't entered Nisuin yet. This Tanaic source says she's not entitled to Truma until Nisuin. So this source represents a Tiyufta to anyone who would say that she is entitled to Truma prior to the actual Nisuin, the actual Chuppah. That's as far as superstructure of the upcoming section of Gemara. Of course, we have a lot more to do until we get to that. We just read Rav Asi's opinion regarding the father giving her over to the Shluchei HaBaal, and we're talking about a Baal who is a Kohen. Rav Asi says she's entitled to Truma as well. And now we have a smaller bracketed section. If you skip the bracketed section, you see Ushmuel Omar LeYerushasa. She's considered in the husband's domain with regard to a husband's right to inherit her if she dies en route. If she dies en route, she would be entitled to inheriting the nedunya, the dowry that she brought into the marriage. Now, Rashi points out under Shmuel, but with regard to truma and other things, she is not entitled to it. So that Shmuel will go along with Rav in that sense, not for truma purposes. But she's considered in the domain of the husband for Yerusha purposes. If we look at Rashi, a few lines down from here, Shmuel Amar LeYerushasa, Hu DeMahanya Mesira, the giving over from the father to the husband emissaries is of a consequence. She Mesa Baderech, if she dies en route, Ba'al Yoresh Nedunyasa, the husband is entitled to inherit the nedunya. Those are the properties that the father had assigned to his daughter in anticipation of her marriage. The avagav diomamar, even though it has been taught ishto arusa mesa eino yosha, then when an arusa dies, the husband does not inherit her. Ha kiva de mosra, here since the father gave her over, achuli achil av Mehashta Mahmas Kiruv Nisuin. The father is foregoing, is forfeit, so to speak, his claim on those properties simply because she has achieved Kiruv Nisuin, the closeness or the bonding of the Nisuin. In other words, this is what the Mesira accomplishes, a type of, let's say, a quasi Nisuin. In other words, she's no longer considered a straightforward Arusa, which would have stated Eino Yarsha. But here, at this point, yes, your Shah. This concept, by the way, of Kiruv Nisuin, I think we saw that reflected before in the concept of Mishum Ichtuni, that it's a concept. I don't know in terms of being very exact in the comparisons, that I wouldn't say, because there the source was speaking about Erusin. Here we're speaking about a stage slightly beyond Erusin, but nevertheless, this concept of a father being happy with his daughter achieving marital status, you can see that that is a factor, something that we saw before back on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. But here, we're being very, very specific, very, very focused in pointing out different stages. We're dealing with something just beyond strict Erusin. She's been given over to the husband's emissaries. So as far as Shmuel is concerned, this is the time at which, from this point on, the husband would be entitled to inherit properties that the father had dedicated toward his daughter's marriage. But, and we're emphasizing, as Rashi says, Shmuel is not saying that she's entitled, that at this point she would be entitled to Truma. That, not so. Reish Lakish is a fourth approach. And we did skip brackets. We're not forgetting that. We'll get back to that momentarily. But Reish Lakish Omar Liksubasa. The Mesira from the father to the Shluchei Baal is a reference to the Ksuba. What exactly that means, the Gemara will have to deal with. That's not clear yet. Let's go back over the bracketed section. We had seen Rav Asi, who said that the giving over to the husband's emissaries is for all intents and purposes, now she is in the reshus of the Baal, even for eating truma. Within the bracketed section, you'll see there's an attempt to ask on Rav Asi, but Rav, ironically speaking, Rav is doche that attempt. I say ironically because Rav himself disagrees with Rav Asi, but you'll see a certain level of, we call, honesty in the Shas, that when you ask a question on your adversary, even though he is your adversary, you want to make sure that the question is not something the adversary can easily reject. If it is, so it doesn't benefit you at all. Eisvei Rav Huna l'Rav Asi v'Amri lo, another version is Chio Barav l'Rav Asi. The two versions of who's asking on Rav Asi. The first version has Rav Huna. Rav Huna is a student of Rav. The second version is the son of Rav. Chio Barav is asking on Rav Asi. The source says Li Oilom, he Birshus Ho'av Ad Shetikones L'chupa. She is considered in the father's domain until entrance to the marriage canopy. And when you say Li Oilom, the implication is regarding Truma consumption as well, that she's not entitled because her father is a non-Kohen. Let's make that, of course, that's the assumption. The father is a non-Kohen. She is marrying a Kohen. She's considered in the father's domain with regard to Truma consumption, namely prohibited in Truma consumption until entrance to marriage canopy. What did Rav Asi say about it? Rav Asi said, no, even before the chuppah, as long as she's given to the emissaries of the husband, she is, yes, entitled to Truma. So that's the question that was posed against Rav Asi. Omar Luhu Rav. Rav says to them, namely either to Rav Huna, his student, or to his son, Chia. He says, Lav Amina Luhu, didn't I tell you, Lo Tezlu Boser Ibcha, don't pursue or don't follow things that can be flipped around. In other words, don't ask questions from sources that he could easily turn around and actually use to support his own point of view. Yachol lishniyelechu, he, Rav Asi, could tell you that mesirasa zu hi kinisasa lechupa, that her being given over to the husband's emissaries is the equivalent, is her entrance to the marriage canopy. That's a form of chuppah. The term chuppah we often translate as marriage canopy, but it represents a halachic concept as well. So that her being given over to the husband's emissaries is the equivalent of chuppah. And then the source is saying that, well, she's now, she's entitled to Truma at the point she's given over to the emissaries of the husband. And that is exactly what Rav Asi would like you to believe. So the question that was attempted here in the brackets on Rav Asi, you can see, is rejected. We go on now with the third opinion as to what is accomplished when we say Mosra Avli Shluchei Abal Ushmul Omar Liyerushasa, for inheritance purposes. And we went through the Rashi that we mentioned, that Rashi described that as the Nidunya property that the father had assigned to his daughter in anticipation of her marriage. If she dies en route, the husband will be entitled to those things. However, Rashi adds, as we alluded to orally before, but if we look, let's look together at the continuation of the Rashi. We're looking at Rashi that you'll find pretty much in the middle of the Rashi column, under the Dibor Maso Shmar Lishosa, halfway down into that Rashi, you'll see Avol Latruma. There's a squiggle underline Avol. Rashi says Avol Latruma Ulafaras Nidorel Shelo B'Shutfis. However, regarding her rights to Truma and the father's or the husband's, let's say, the husband's ability to annul her vows in an exclusive fashion without the father accompanying him, ulamitziyasa, and the rights to her found to items that she finds, the eino ela mishum eva, the reason that the found items are transferred over is to that she doesn't keep the found items is simply to prevent ill feelings. Vakati leko lemechash lohi, and still there is no this idea of eva isn't present yet. Lo mahanyo mesira ki chupa. Regarding those things that, let's say, the husband should be entitled to things she finds, that doesn't apply yet. The mesira is not the equivalent of chuppah regarding those things, regarding a husband's exclusive rights to annul her vows, regarding the eating of truma that she would receive in merit of marrying a kohen. And as we said, the items that she finds, they don't go to the husband yet. But as far as inheriting the Nidunya, if she dies en route, the husband is entitled to that. We continue in the Gemara. Reish Lakish Amar L'Ksubasa. The Mesira, the giving over, helps with benefit to the Ksuba. We have a small bracketed section. On the side, we have a starred, a double starred note. Achrea Sograyim, after the bracketed section. Muva Hapirush Ledivre Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish just said, Liksusa, if you skip the brackets, you see the Gemara's explanation of that. Besocha Sograyim, within the brackets, a Gemara Mitkashe Lahavin Kavanoso Shereish Lakish. The Gemara expresses its difficulty in understanding what is Reish Lakish trying to say. We go back now to the Gemara. Reish Lakish said that the Mesira helps the Ksubasa. If we skip the brackets, you can see the answer is Lomar Ksubasa Me'acher Mona. It means that if the husband-to-be, after she was given to his emissaries. If that husband dies before they actually consummate their marriage, she is considered a widow, but a widow from Nisuin. And when, if she marries another man, she is entitled to a ksuba only of 100, as is the case of an almona from Nisuin. This is in contrast to a woman who became an almona from a state of Erusin, and she's still a virgin, and she's an almona from Erusin, that would entitle her to a ksuba of 200. But the mesira to the husband's emissaries makes her considered a nesua with regard to the amount of ksuba she'd be entitled to upon her marrying a second man in the event that the husband dies at this early point in time. Let's go over now the bracketed section. Reish Lakish Omar L'Ksubasa, that the mesira to the Shluchei HaBaal is beneficial for being considered in the Rashus of the Baal for Ksuba purposes. Ksubasa Mahi. What do you mean by Ksuba? D'i Mesa Yorisla. Do you mean that, does Reish Lakish mean that if she dies at this point, that she was merely transferred to the Shluchei HaBaal, that husband will inherit the nidunya that the father had assigned to her? Well, Hainu de Shmuel, that's exactly what Shmuel said when he said the Yerushasa. So Reish Lakish doesn't need to just repeat that what Shmuel said. Omar Ravinos. Ravino explains what Reish Lakish really meant. Loimar ksubasa me'acher mona. That once she is given over to the Shluchei HaBaal, at that point in time, if that Baal dies before she ever reaches him, physically reaches him, she nevertheless is considered an almona from Nisuin. And that if she marries someone else, that's the ksubasa me'acher. Me'acher is a second husband. Mona would be only 100. Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Chanina d'Amri Travayu, Mesirasa lakol af l'truma. Well, you have more opinions that line up with Ravasi. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, they say the Mesira to the Shluchei HaBaal entitles her even to eat from Truma. Mesve. And then, as we did before, but we'll do it again. We have a Tanaic source, a lot of information in the middle that will be dealt with later by the Gemara, but if we skip the bracketed section, use your bracket length indicator, you come to a point at which it says, L'truma, eini shochelis b'truma, ad shetikones l'chupa. Tiyufta b'kulhu. This source is saying she's not entitled to truma until she physically enters the chupa. This would be a repudiation or a refutation of all those that had, let's say, had agreed or had said what they did, like Rav Asi. So you have Rav Asi is it becomes problematic here, and we have Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina who indicate that she could eat from Truma even prior to Chuppah, and this says that that's not the case. This is a problem for them. Meisvei. We will be seeing a number of details in this Tanaic source that the Gemara will relate to later on. But as we already demonstrated with the brackets, we have the immediate agenda is to get to the question that, as Tosfos says, is directed at all those who said that the Mesira is effective even to enable her to eat Truma, and from this source we are to see not so. With all that having been said, we go now within the brackets. Holach ho'av im shluchei habal, o shaholchu shluchei ho'av im shluchei habal. These are cases that we saw in the Mishnah, where the father is, say, still in the picture. He's going with the husband's emissaries along with his daughter, or the father's emissaries are going along with the husband's emissaries. Oy, shehoisa lo chotzer baderech, the markings that you see here are necessary for the Gemara later on. On the side, you can see under the Mivneh, you see a diamond. Hadgoshas, lo velo, words that are emphasized by the diamond. Letzorcha Gemara lekamon, it's necessary for the Gemara later on. The dashed underlining is Hadgoshas nifnisa imoi shemafia bereisha b'seifa. These expressions appear in both parts of the source as well. So the third scenario is Oshahoisa lo chotzer baderech v'nichnisa imoi lolin. Or the girl has a courtyard en route, and she goes with him to rest, lolin, to sleep, to rest. We should point out, let's glance at Rashi momentarily, that we're looking at the last third of the Rashi commentary. V'nichnesa imo im baila. You know, it's this case involves the father is still in the picture, it seems, and she goes with the husband into this chotzer, kishar lina baderech ba'alma v'lo l'shem nisuin. She goes into this chotzer, into this courtyard for resting purposes, but not for nisuin purposes. And that's what we have to emphasize as far as the father's presence here, yes or no, that I'm not committing myself to either way, but what is clear is that she goes with the husband. Now, we're talking about a man that was ma'ares her. He had entered the first stage of marriage, and they go into this chotzer for resting purposes. Afal pi sheksuboso beveis baila, even though the articles that have been dedicated toward her dowry, Rashi says, "Metaltalin shiichet aviyah le'nidun yasa." These are portables. These are items of value that her father dedicated to his daughter upon her marriage to the husband. Mesa, if she dies at this point, aviha yorsha, her father will inherit. So in these cases 1 and 2 and 3, you see that the in cases 1 and 2 it's very clear that the father is still in the picture. And in case 3, we said that she went into her courtyard for resting purposes only. That's not considered nisuin. They went in only for resting purposes. If she dies, she's basically dying as an arusa. And as such, the father inherits her. We continue. Mosar ho'av l'shluchei habal. Oshem mosar shluchei av l'shluchei habal. Again, familiar cases where the father gave her over to the husband's emissaries, or the emissaries of the father gave her over to the husband's emissaries. Father is no longer in the picture. Oy shoyso loy chotzer baderech. Or the husband had a courtyard en route to their home, to the husband's house. V'nichnesa imo l'shum nisuin. And she goes into this courtyard for nisuin purposes. Even if the articles of value are still in her father's house, Mesa, if she dies at this point, by lo yorsha, the husband will inherit her. So you have a case of Mesira, as we saw, and this, by the way, is very similar to what Shmuel had said above. When does this Mesira to the Shluchim be considered Nisuin? Liyerushasa. It's only for Yerusha purposes. And here, this is a very clear qualification. Avol l'truma, ein isho cheles b'truma ad shetikones l'chupa. This is very clear then a problem for Avasi, and what Rav had commented on earlier cannot be. Rav, if you recall, before says that when you see Tikkanis L'chupa, you can interpret that as Mesira to the Shulche HaBaal. But here, the source is very clear, not agreeing with that interpretation for this source. As far as this source is concerned, Mesira L'Shluchim is not considered the Chupa with regard to Truma. Tiyufta Dekulhu Tiyufta. So that this source, by its conclusion, that, let's read the last two lines of the source again. Bamed v'mumurim, when do we say that the Mesira to the Shluchim of the Baal is considered Nisuin? That's with regard to inheritance purposes. Aval l'truma, eino isha achels b'truma, shetikones l'chupa, as far as truma eating is concerned, a woman does not eat from truma until she enters an actual marriage canopy. Not a courtyard. It seems to be saying you are not a courtyard of his. That's l'shem nisuin. Right, that we have to discuss a little bit further later on. But certainly, as Rashi directs the discussion, that the bamed v'murim is a qualification concerning the mesira to the shluchim is not considered nisuin for truma purposes. That having been said, the Gemara concludes, Tiyufta Dekulu, this is a refutation of all those that said that she is entitled to Truma purposes, like Rav Asi, like Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Chanina. The way Rashi presents it, this is a refutation of all those who disagreed with Shmuel. Shmuel said that the giving over to the Shluchim is for Yerusha purposes, and that's what this source says, not for other things, as Shmuel had indicated through Rashi's interpretation. And hence, this is a tiyufta to all of those. At this point, the Gemara analyzes the source itself. It says, the Gemara says, Ha gufa kashya. This source, it presents to us an inherent problem. Amris nichnasa ima lolin. Notice the arrow that we have here, and it lines you up with the quote from above. It said that if she went together with the husband into her chotzer for resting purposes, that it's not considered as if she entered the husband's domain. Taima delolin. Well, the reason is because their interest was simply for resting purposes, was clearly for resting purposes. Hostamo, if they went in for some undefined reason, without, they simply went in, not for an expressed purpose of resting from the journey, but they stam. Stam means in an unqualified, undefined entrance to that chotzer. Well, then we would conclude, hostama, it's l'shem nisuin, it's tantamount to nisuin. Nisuin being the consummation of the marriage would be accomplished then and there. Emo seifo, well then can state the continuation of the source. Nichnasa emo l'shem nisuin. We saw that in the case that he had a chotzer, and they went in for nisuin purposes. Hostama, we would infer that if it was for some undefined reason, not a specified nisuin purpose, but stama, that would be lolin. That would be like the equivalent of going in for resting and not accomplish anything. So that when you look at this entrance to chatzeros in a stam, in an undefined or unstated, for an unstated purpose, we would seem to have a contradiction. The inference from the Reisha led us to say that Stam is L'shem Nisuin, and the inference from the Seifa indicates Stama is not L'shem Nisuin. Omar Ravashi. Ravashi explains, Stami Stami Kotoni. There are two cases of Stam, But there are two different circumstances that now we will emphasize. Remember, we have the diamonds above. There was her chotzer, and then there's his chotzer. So Rav Ashi says, stami, stami, kotoni. There are two cases of stam that are taught here. Stam chotzer dido equals lolin. If they go into her chotzer, it's property that she owns. Without any defined reason, you can assume that it means lolin. Not as we thought before, that they went in there with a stated purpose of lolin, but rather they went in without any defined purpose. We will say that that does not constitute nisuin, because the stam chotzer of her stam chotzer en route would be for simple resting purposes. However, stam chotzer didei, entering a piece of property, a chotzer, a courtyard that he owns, that's there, that's located en route to his house, and they go into his property without any defined purpose, you can rest assured that is l'nisuin. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Stami stami kotoni, on the last narrow line of the Rashi commentary, ha de kotoni nichnaso imo lolun, the section of the source in the ratio that said she entered for resting purposes, lo shepir shalolun ani nichnesis v'lo l'shem nisuin. It's not as if she announced, let's go in here to rest and not for nisuin purposes. And the seifa that says she went in for nisuin, that let's go in to finally consummate our marriage. In both cases, they entered without any expressed reason or goal. The tonu de komar, and it's the tana that is telling us the hecha de chotzer shalom, that if it's you're dealing with her courtyard, stam kenisos alol nisuin ein, their undefined entrance is for sure not for nisuin. Ela lalun, they're simple, they're undefined, unstated entrances to rest. The hecha de chotzer shalom, but if it's his courtyard, stam kenisos l'shem nisuin, you can assume that the undefined entrance on her part to his chotzer with him is for nisuin purposes, for consummating their marriage, and with all that that implies. We turn back to the Gemara text. Tana. There's a little note that we have on the side. Afapi shelo simanu ezeh with a triangle, mispar chamesh. What we're about to read, we're not listing this as a number five. Mikol mokom zu od gisha l'toitza shel mesiras ha'av l'shluchei ba'al. This represents another result of what happens when the father gives the daughter over to the husband's emissaries. That, of course, was the focus, the discussion of the first four triangles. So, in that sense, this is a continuation of that theme. Tana Moser Av L'Shluchei Baal. If the once the father gives his daughter over to the husband's emissaries, Vizinsa. If at that point she has an illicit act of intimacy, hare zu bechenek, she's viewed as a nisua, and her punishment, her form of execution, is chenek, which is strangulation, which is the execution given to a nisua, and not stoning, which is the form of execution that would be administered to an arusa. Mino hanimili. What's the basis for this? Omar of Ami, Bar Hamo, Omar Kro, the Posuk regarding stoning says, Liznois Be Sofia, that the stoning is given when Znus was violated in the context of her father's home. Prat, this is to the exclusion, Lishemosarav, Lishluche Habal. That already, where the father gave her over to the husband's emissaries, she's not called Beis Ovi anymore, and hence no skila. There's a house marking that appears on the under the Mivne heading. They highlight Shnei She'elois Shinish Alois. Shtei She'elos, two questions, Shinish Alois, that are raised. Ekev Mashi Kotoni Bebraisa, in light of that which we just learned in this source, Tana Mosar Ha'av, that we just learned. So the Gemara. V'ema Prat. When we want to say that we have a pasuk, Liznoi Space Avia. Who is to say that Liznoi Space Avia is coming to exclude from Skila the scenario of her being given over to husband's emissaries? Maybe she's still considered a straightforward arusa at that point. And if you want to know what the pasuk is coming to exclude, it's coming to exclude from skila this case, which is very close to nisuin. She went into the marriage canopy, but he hasn't had intimacy with her yet. That at that point, even though he hasn't had actual intimacy with her, but once she enters the marriage canopy, then she loses her let's say arusa / skila status. That's the case that's excluded. But if she's only given over to the shluchei habal, she would still be a candidate, or should be still susceptible to the skila execution if she has nus. There's a Rashi that we'll look at together, five lines from the bottom. V'ema prat l'shenichnasa l'cheshenichnasa l'chupa v'lo nivah. Dayoch, it's enough. Imiatita kagonzu, that this case alone we will exclude from skila. Delo tema, that you shouldn't think nara besula ksiv gabi skila vo akati besula havoi, that in the context of skila you see that the Torah describes a virgin as a nara, that's it, she's between 12 and 12 and a half, and she's also a virgin, and in fact this case of nifnas olachuba velo nivla, she still is a virgin. And so here you have a chiddush that even though she's still a virgin, she's still like that which the Torah describes as getting skila, she won't get skila. Aval zu, the case of Mosar Ahav, the Shluchei Abal, she'af l'chupa lo nichnasa, she hasn't even entered a marriage canopy yet, lo mi'ato akosuf, the Torah hasn't excluded her from skila, v'akati be'sovia, karina be'. And we would still refer to her as being in the father's home. She would still be considered worthy or deserving of skila. The Gemara answers. Now you'll note that we have a long answer. Omar Rava. Omar Li Ami. Rava tells us that Ami told him Chupa Behedya Ksiva. The idea of a girl who entered chuppa, that's nichsav v'lo nivala, that's stated explicitly that she will not get skila. So that case is already covered. So then what am I going to do with Liznoi Space Avia? I'll have nothing left to do with it other than to say that it is coming to exclude from skila the case of Masrav, the Shluchei Abal. So that in effect both cases are really covered. It's not just Nichnas al Chupa v'lo Nivala. That's already stated explicitly as not deserving of skila. But even the case of Masrav, the Shluchei Abal, also will not get skila. And here we see that the case of Nichnas al Chupa v'lo Nivala is excluded from skila. Behedyo ksiva, it's stated explicitly. How do you see that? So we have a pasuk. Kiyeh nara b'sula marosu l'ish. Now this pasuk is in the context of skila. pasuk describes who would get skila. If it's a nara besula meirosa leish, nara velo bogeres, she'd have to first of all be between 12 and 12 and a half in order to deserve skila, and not a bogeres, whereas it's above 12 and a half. Besula velo beula, she'd have to be a virgin, not having had intimacy already. Meirosa velo nesua. My nesuah. When you say she has to be categorized as a me'orasa, as erusin, and not a nesuah, what do you mean when you say not a nesuah? Ilema nesuah mamish, literally nesuah. That means that she had the marriage canopy and also had intimacy with her husband. Hainu basula. She's already excluded from the word basula, which says that skila is given only if she's an actual virgin. But if she were nichnasa l'chupa and nivala, so she's already excluded by basula. I don't need the word me'orasa to exclude that. So let's read that again. I leimo nisua mamish hainu basula velo beula. That is already covered by the exclusion before from the word basula, which meant basula not a beula. Elolav. So what does Ma'orasa indicate? Ma'orasa means Ma'orasa gets skila, but not someone else. Elolav shenichnasa l'chupa v'lo nivala. If she merely entered the marriage canopy without the subsequent intimacy with her husband, still she will not get skila. Not only if she had the intimacy, even if she didn't have the intimacy, even though technically speaking she's still a besula, she nevertheless is not a candidate for skila. And that's what we meant before when we said that nichnasa l'chupa v'lo nivala is excluded from skila b'feirush by the presence of this word me'orasa. So fine, Ma'orasa or nichnasa l'chupa v'lo nivala does not get skila from the word ma'orasa. What does the pasuk of liznois beis avia communicate? That tells us that even if she was merely transferred from the father to the husband's emissaries, she too, if she was mezana at that point, will not be subject to skila. Now, you'll notice that we have a semicolon that indicates that we're continuing, but not in a continuous, let's say, direct train of thought, but nevertheless a similar question in light of that which we've learned in the source of Masrav L'Shulcha Baal. Another question in that general context is being raised. It's a new question, and Rashi makes a point of that in his commentary. V'ema, let us suggest the hecha de hadra lebein nasha hadra lemilso kamaisa. Rashi at the top, hochi garcino v'ema hecha de hadra lebein nasha tehada lemilso kamaisa. If she were to return to her father's house, bein nasha means her father's house, mi havio kamisha lo nimsara. Would it be then, in our halachic approach, be as if she was never given over? Does her return, let's say she backs out, from the father had given over to Shulchan Baal, and then she goes back home? Would you say that that's as if she was never given over? Rashi says, "Bayo bi alma." It's a general kind of question. Veinu kushu kol kach. It's not a serious question. Elo, it's not a serious question in so far as our questioning text or facts. Elo, dikatoni masnisin. We were taught harehi brishus habal that when you have mosra ha'av l'shluchei habal, the Mishnah said she is considered in the rishus of the baal. Umashma, when you say she's considered in the domain of the husband, it seems afilu chazra min aderech lebeis avia, even if she were to go back while en route, she would go back to her father's house. Kfar yotzim rishus av, she's considered as having left the father's domain. V'kevon de lo nafgalon mesiras shluchin ela mikro yisera de beis aviyah. Since this whole concept of being given over to emissaries is something derived from an extra expression, we saw Lizno's beis aviyah, that beis aviyah expression, Ema, there leaves me room to think, Hecha de Hadra, that where she does go back to her father's house, meaning that when she is in the Rishus of these Shluchim, all right, she's not called Beis Ovi anymore. And we mentioned that if she would have Znus at that point, she wouldn't get Skila. But, let's say she actually went back to her father's house. Karinon Beis Ovia Karinon Bay. We would call that Beis Ovia Vim Zinsote Beskilon. If she would have Znus now that she returned physically to her father's house, she would be subject to the penalty of stoning if she would have Znus. Don't make any mistake. When we say she goes back, it doesn't mean she's getting divorced from her Erusin state. She's still an Arusa. She just went back to her father's house. Does that undo her having been given over to the Shluchei Abaal? The Gemara answers, and note that we have a long answer here. Omar Rava, Hahu, Kvar Posko Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel. The question you're posing has been resolved already by a Tanaic source taught in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. And so as not to keep you in suspense, the answer that this source tells us is that she does not undo. She doesn't go back to her original base of Eos status, even though she physically went back to the house. The Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel. The Pasuk says, V'neder almona ugrusha kol asher osra al nafshi yokum aleha. Translated, the vow of a widow or of a divorcee, anything she takes upon herself, must be fulfilled. You know, Yokum aleha, the vow takes hold. Ma Talmud Lomar, what is the point of teaching this? The idea of Yokum aleha, that that the vow takes hold. It's obvious that the vow takes hold. There's no one to undo it. Ma Talmud Lomar, what do I have to tell you, Yokum aleha, that it takes hold? V'halo mutseis michlal av, she's out of the father's domain, umutseis michlal bal, and she's out of her husband's domain. These are the only people that might have been able to absolve her vows, and she's not in their domain. So why do I have to say Yokum aleha? Just like we know in general vows are binding, so our vow is also binding. It's not the type of vow that's subject to absolution. Ella. So here we have to find out what is the pasuk coming to tell us. So that Rashi already introduces, and we could take a look at Rashi. Ella Haresha Mosav Chulei Klomar Lo Bo Hakosav Amon Grushim Nasuin. The pasuk isn't coming to tell me about the straightforward case of a widow or a woman divorced from Nisuin. That's already covered by a pasuk in Beis Isha Nedora. Isha Yefirenu Varei Ein Isha Kayam. That's covered already by the inference from a pasuk dealing with a married woman, which says that her husband will annul or has the power to absolve or annul those vows. And if she doesn't have a husband, so then the vows are still a stick. So what do we mean, what is the pasuk here when it talks about Amona Grusha, what is it coming to teach us? So now let's go back to the Gemara text. Ela, Haresha Mosar Av L'Shluchei Habal. A father gave his daughter over to agents of the husband. Osha Mosar L'Shluchei Av L'Shluchei Habal. Or the father's agents gave her over to the husband's agents, and she made a vow en route to the husband that's waiting for her. V'nisar maloba derechon isgarsha. He died, the husband died, or he decided to divorce her. Heich ani kore ba. How shall I relate to her? base Ovia Shelzu, or base Bailo Shelzu, is she considered in her father's house? Is she considered in her husband's house? Ela Lomar Loch, the Pusik tells me, Kevan Shiot Shachas Mishusav, once she left her father's domain, even for a moment, Shuv Eino Yochol Lahafir, the father can no longer absolve those vows. So what's the point? Once she leaves for a moment, that's it. Father's out of the picture. She's no longer considered Beis Avia, and therefore, with regard to the question above, if she goes back to the father's domain house after she was en route with the Shluchei Habal, and she is Mezaneh, and she's Mizana after she goes back to her father's house, she's not going to be considered back in his Rishus. Just like the father will not be able to annul her vows, so too the penalty of Skila will no longer apply. Now, we had started learning a Rashi together. Let us pick up where we left off. You'll notice we have right across from here the dashed underlined section of the Rashi. The Pasuk had mentioned Neder Almona Grusha is essentially Yokum Olea. Elo La Almona, we're talking about a widow Ayadei Mesiras Shluchim. We're talking about a woman who became Almona through being given over to husband's emissary. Sha'an achshav lo pirshu lo haksuvim ela mishpat noideres beis avio, mishpat noideres beis isha. Up till now, the psukim were clear about a woman taking a vow while still in her father's domain, or still in her husband's domain, or while in her husband's domain. V'zu shenotra baderech mishimasur lishluchim. This case of a woman who vows en route, from the point that emissaries of the father had given her over to emissaries of the husband. Ein ani yodea hechani korei ba. I wouldn't have known how to view her in beis avia, in beis isha. Isha means her husband. Lefikach ba kosuv ze velindecha. Therefore, this pasuk comes to teach us shelo tikra la beis avia. We're going to refer to her anymore as beis avia. Ela beis isha. She's considered in her husband's domain. V'lo nisroikna rishus lo'av b'misasa shabal. And upon the death of this man, of the husband that's waiting for her, upon his death, the powers that he had are not transferred back to the father's domain. Let's read that again. Velo nisroikna rishus la'av. The stroke means that we have to do with the passing back of control over her vows to the father with the death of the husband. Veshuv eino yochel la'afer. And at that point, the father can no longer. The father at this point cannot annul her vows. Alma lo hodri lemilsa kamaisa. So we see that the original status that existed, namely girl under father's domain, does not return. The ilu nis armalo mino erusin ad shelo nimsro lishluchim. Let us say she had become an almona at the erusin stage before being given over to emissaries. When the husband dies, nisrok the rishus lav, the power of a vow annulment would go back to the father. The alfinon lo mikroy, and all of that is derived from psukim. So, just to summarize, the pasuk neder almona grusha tells us that once the girl is given over to the shluchei habal, she no longer is in the father's domain, even if she becomes, as the pasuk says, an almona at that point where the husband dies, she remains out of the father's domain. And once out, you don't go back. And therefore, in our case before, if she was given over to the shluchei habal and she went back to her father's house and is mizaneh, she is not going to receive skila, rather chenek. Amar Rav Papa, Af Anan Nami Tanina. We have a long point marking. The Rav Papa says we have a Mishnah that supports this as well. Habo al Naro Hamurasa, a person that has intimacy with a woman that's arusa to someone else. Eino Chayav Ashte Naro Basula Morosa Vihi Bevesaviyab. And when we say Eino Chayav, means he won't be subject to skila unless all of these elements are met. She has to be Naro, Basula, Morosa, and Bevesaviyab. So when we say Eino Chayav, we're referring to the penalty of skila, of we're dealing with someone that's committing a capital a crime, deserving of capital punishment, execution. But when we speak about Naro Morosa, you have to realize that deserves a special form of execution, that of stoning. Otherwise, when you're dealing with the intimacy with a married woman, the penalty is chenek, is strangulation. And now the Gemara analyzes each one of these expressions that we've labeled Aleph, Beis, Gimel, and Dalet, and what each one implies. Bishlamo Naro, Velo Bogeres. Very similar to what we saw earlier in today's shiur, that the word Naro, here it's in a Mishnah. We saw this from the, we saw this also in a Pasuk. But I understand the word Naro comes to exclude from Skila, no Skila, if the woman that you had the illicit intimacy with was a bogera. She was above 12 and a half. Besula equals velobula. That excludes a woman that already experienced intimacy, regardless of her age. If she's a beula, she will not generate a skilo penalty. Meorosa velo nisua. The word meorosa indicates she's still in the state of Erusin and hasn't reached Nisuin. Bevesoviyah limutei mai. What about that expression in this Mishnah? Lav limutei, is it not coming to exclude Mosar ho'av l'shluchei habal? If a girl, she's an Arusa, and the father gave her over to the husband's emissaries, she would not be any more the subject of skila, of a skila penalty, but rather chenek. And so that we have in this Mishnah from Masechet Sanhedrin, we have a support to the Braisa that we saw before on Mem Zayin Rebeis, where it said Mosrav l'shulchei abal v'zin sarezu b'chenek. So that, by the way, we didn't explain before, but when Rav Papa said Afana Nami Tanina, Rashi points out that we have learned, in fact, in this Mishnah, support for the information, the teaching that was featured in that Braisa back on Mem Zayin, back on Mem Ches Omid Beis. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Af Anan Nami Tanina. We have likewise in the Mishnah the teaching that we saw before in the Braisa. Habo al Eshes Ish. Kevon Shenichnisa Lirishus Habal Linisuin. A man that has an intimacy with a married woman, once she enters her husband's domain for nisuin, afal pi shelo nivalo, even if she wasn't, even if she didn't have intimacy with her husband, she entered her husband's domain, but didn't have intimacy with her husband. Habo oleo hareze bechenek. Anyone that has any other man that has intimacy with her is subject to the chenek punishment. In this source, you see the expression "nichnesa l'rishus habal be'alma." Any form of nichnesa l'rishus habal, of entrance to husband's domain. It doesn't say in this source chuppah. It doesn't say, for example, nichnesa l'chuppah v'lo nivala, but rather nichnesa l'rishus habal v'lo nivala. That includes the case of Mosra Ho'av L'Shluchei Habal resulting in Chenek, as we saw likewise in the Braisa on Memches Omid Beis. So that you see in this section of Gemara, you see Rav Papa and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak citing Mishnayos to support the Braisa, which gives a great deal of strength and reliability to such a Braisa. Throughout the Shas, you see from time to time the Gemara questioning the authenticity or reliability of different Braisa sources. Braisas are not as authoritative as Mishnayos are, and hence when you see this expression of Afana Nami Tanina, we've learned in a Mishnah information that supports a Braisa that is of value as far as the reliability of that particular Braisa. So we saw that happen here twice with regard to that Braisa back on Mem Chesom at Beis. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.